Okay, so good evening. Last week we covered the section in Shulchan Aruch, Reish Samaches Siv Gimel, having to do with what you need, where the basin needs to be present. Does the basin need to be present at the mikveh or not? At some point you need to go in front of the basin. We also spent some time, because at the end of the Shulchan Aruch he records something about that if this person who was a Safek married a woman who was Yisraelis, so that child is going to be kosher, he's not going to be pasul. So what does that mean? So the Shach says it's alluding to a halacha that a daughter of a non-Jewish male, meaning the mother is Jewish and the father is not Jewish, potentially is not permitted to marry a kohen. At least that's the way that the Shach assumes, which obviously could lead to some problems in today's day and age, and we dealt last week with the tshuva from Rav Moshe, where he dealt with that issue. But tonight, it would kind of develop on that Sif Gimel, where what is a basin? Who do you need in order to qualify for a basin? Actually, printed. Oh, I never printed it out. Oops. Okay, I think, do I still have it? Yes, I still have it here. All right. So
we're going to talk about who should be the Beddin.
Yeah, so who qualifies?
That was my question 2 weeks ago.
Yes. Okay, so the truth is this. I try to bifurcate sort of two different issues. If you're on the page of Shulchan Aruch, if you go to the very end of the Sif, so the very end of the Sif Yud Beis, the very end of the Simen, Sif Yud Beis, deals with the idea of checking the person to see how sincere they are. Okay? So I want to try to avoid that issue. Right? So there's two issues, right? There's two challenges with regards to accepting the converts there. One is, how do we know that they're sincere? And the second one is, who is permitted to make that determination that they are sincere? Or is such a person even making such a determination? Is that really the role that the Dayanim are doing? So I want to more focus on the Dayanim and less focus on whether the person is sincere. That's going to have to wait for a shiur probably, 2-3 weeks from now, but probably 6-7 weeks from now, having to do with that issue. But just with regards to who is Ra'i, who is fit to be on a basin. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch itself, it's on the source sheet that we... Yeah? It's on the source sheet, that page. Sif Gimel, Kol Inyanei HaGer, Bein Lehodiyu HaMitzvos LeKabbalah, Bein Mila, Bein Tefila, all the issues having to do with Geiris, whether telling about the mitzvos and him accepting it, and the Mila, and the Tefila, Tzarech Sheyehu, Begimel HaKsherim Ladun Uvayom, that they should be done in front of Kusher, three people that are able to judge, and during the day. And then, however, that's only Lechatchila, B'dieved, if it's only there for part and not for the rest, so that would be sufficient. But I just want to focus on... Hi there. Okay, welcome. Yep. You could say hi to everybody. I think she has an older brother who did not do his job, right? But she's very tired and probably will fall asleep pretty soon. So, let's see. Which is okay under tonight's for tonight's rules. She falls asleep.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Last week, I think, I just heard the shiur, so I'm fresh. So, last week's shiur, it seems like you said that the Shulchan Aruch said that Bedi Eved, even if it's not three Dayanim and just, I think you said two Israel, it's enough.
Well, witnesses. You might need to... Right. At some point, there needs to be a basin that's present. The question is for how many parts of it. So lechatchila, you need for everything. That's what Shulchan Aruch is saying. But if you don't, as long as you have for kabbalas and mitzvos, that's okay. What I want to get in tonight is now defining. Okay, who qualifies to be those dayanim? So the shach here makes a comment. Dechsiv gabe ger, the shach in ches. Right, two lines. Dechsiv gabe ger mishpat echad yelachem vein mishpat b'pachos migimel ksherim. Right, you can't have mishpat. Right, this comparison of geiris, of the laws of conversion, to a judgment, to an actual din Torah, and you need people that are going to be kosher for that din Torah. Okay, but beyond that, so what? I mean, what do they? How much do they? How big experts do you need them to be? So for that, we could take a look. Let me, if you have the source sheet that's in the chat box, the second one, not the top one. The top one I think is not going to work again. But I put in one by accident, and then there's one that works. So, uh-oh.
Which page?
Okay, so page 3. If you go to the third page down, it says Simen Kuf Nun Tess on it. So that is from Igros Moshe Yoredeya, Simen Kuf Nun Tess. Now, I alluded to last week, I remember clearly reading this article several years ago about that tried to detail Rav Moshe's sort of changed his view a little bit over the time, that it's important when learning Geirus Tshuvos to keep track of the dates. These tshuvos that he became a little bit more makil, not so much on this issue, but more on the Kabbalah Samitzvos issue, which we'll talk about, again, a little bit down the road. So it's important to keep that in mind. I haven't been able to find that article. I tried searching all over for it. I'm not sure. I'll try to track that down. But it is important to notice the dates on these tshuvos. This one is from 1949. So Rav Moshe is already at this point well situated in America. And it's still somewhat towards the beginning of his career, but in America, he still has several decades ahead of him, but he's already become pretty prominent in America. So here he makes the comment about, okay, what is this? What do you need in terms of the basin, right? The title of the tshuva is B'davar HaBasin L'Geirus. Im Tzarech Shiyu Kulam Talmidei Chachamim. Is there really a necessity for them to be Talmidei Chachamim? And Rav Moshe says, B'davar Im Tzarech Shiyu HaBasin L'Geirus Kol Shol Talmidei Chachamim Davka. Hinei Af B'Loshan HaGemar Yevamos Isa Talmud Chacham. He says it's true, and we quoted this Gemara last week or the week before, that the Gemara does use the terminology of Talmidei Chachamim in his in the description of waiting to show up. Remember, the guy came at night and they said, wait till tomorrow, we'll gather the Talmidei Chachamim. So Aval Barambam, the Rambam says, Kasav Shlosha Omdim, he just says three people stand there. V'lo Hiskir Shiyu Talmidei Chachamim. U'midlo Hikshu Olav Nosei Kelim. The fact that nobody asked the question on him from this Gemara, Mashma, Shesavi Delav Dafka Nakat Gemara Talmidei Chachamim. El Mishum Dabai Shiyu Diyuhu Mixes Hadayanim Nakat. I'm not sure what Taf Dalet stands for. Maybe it's actually Talmidei Chachamim. I don't know. Maybe you need somebody. You need some people there that know what they're doing. But you don't necessarily need the other people to know what they're doing. And he brings a couple of examples here of Gemaras that allude to Talmidei Chachamim, and it's clearly not referring to actual, real, bona fide Talmidei Chachamim, etc. For the examples that he gives are that you see Hasra. The Gemara makes a comment with regards to people who could give warning for any type of testimony for in terms of witnesses that they should be Talmidei Chachamim. Well. Why? Right? They don't need to be. They just need to know how to give hasra. They just need to know how to give the proper warning. So that's what it's referring to. But on the bottom line of this first page, the Shemkin ain't paid the bedaf to me chachamim. El sheyadu lahasros did oladaber. That you need to know how to give warning and how to speak. And he continues on with that point. So then, if you look, I'm on the page 4 at this point. If you're following along on that. Not sure how to. Oh, there. Yeah. So on the top of page Shin Chaf, right, I have the underlying part in that top right paragraph. He says, V'achin gam begirus, mashi'isa bebrais, tamid chachamim, hurak sheyedu ma lomer lahagir, mixus hamitzus, uchol mashi'etzrichu ledaberita. Right, that they just need to know how to deal with the gear. They don't necessarily need to be big tamidi chachamim. And then he says, even so, the Rambam does record Talmidei Chachamim elsewhere under these circumstances. By Geirus, you don't need that. Okay.
Are we looking for the witness of the Migre? I'm lost.
No, the problem that Rav Moshe is dealing with is that the Gemara, when discussing who's going to show up for the Beis Din, tells a story, and in that story alludes to the fact that we're going to have two Talmidei Chachamim that are, we'll get the Talmidei Chachamim together tomorrow, and we'll have a Din Torah. We'll do the Geirus at that point. So asks, so Rav Moshe says, well, wait a second, do you actually need to be Talmidei Chachamim? Right? So he explains that we see the Gemara uses the terminology of Talmud Chacham elsewhere in the Gemara, and is clearly not referring to that they're bona fide Talmid Chacham with smicha, that they're Rabbanim, things like that. They just need to know how to deal with Geirim. Okay?
So there is a question if the conservative rabbi...
Yitzhak, slow down, okay? So all Rav Moshe is dealing with here is just answering that question, right? That you don't need to necessarily have full-fledged Rabbanim, just have people that know what they're doing. So the truth is, this was... Yeah?
Wait, just a quick question. Like, what is a Talmud Chacham?
Right. So you need to have somebody who knows what they're doing.
But not
necessarily all three. And the reason for that is that as opposed to a Din Torah where you have judgments and each of the Dayanim is supposed to weigh in with their opinion and there's supposed to be discussion amongst the Dayanim, by Geirus, we talked about Chalitza last week, is really a Maisa Beis Din. It's an action that Beis Din does. Meaning a Beis Din is the prerequisite equipment that you need, so to speak, in order for a Geirus to take place. So therefore, it's not necessary that they actually have the full bona fides of being Dayanim. They just need to be representative. And as we quoted last week from Al HaTshuva, that Rav Soloveitchik has this development in Al HaTshuva, where he talks about that the three Dayanim being present means that the Shechina comes, and that's how that's necessary in order for a convert to convert, that you have the presence of the Shechina who welcomes in the convert. So having the three people there is more symbolic than of necessity. What?
A practical halachic implication.
But here you just say three, but I think last week you said two, because at the end...
The two that we talked about last week was that if you're not going to have a Beis Din by the mikveh, so you need at least two people there in order to witness it, right?
Right, that's the minimum. Right.
Okay, no. The minimum is three for a Beis Din. At some point, a ger must appear in front of a Beis Din of three. The question is, how much of the process does that Beis Din of three need to be there for, right? So that was last week's discussion. But this week's discussion is, now that we have a Beis Din of three, right, who needs to make up that Beis Din of three? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva saying that, you know, as long as they, they're more symbolic than actually having a role to play, but symbols are important, right? And therefore it's necessary that they be there. So the truth is, that was the policy for most, until about 13 years ago or so, until 2007. Actually, I can share this. Do I have sharing powers? Here, let me share a document with you here. Can I claim the host?
Let me give you the number.
I have the number!
Okay.
I just can't find where I'm gonna claim the host.
Across the house. I just want to sheet of paper
here. Here, whatever. But I can't find the spot. Anyway, I'll put the entire thing in the text box here. Okay. So what I just put in the text box is until 15 years ago. There was a rabbi had a geirus that they needed to oversee, and when there was time they trained the person, etc. And when it came time to for the geirus to actually happen, he would gather two of his friends or two of his interns, as the case may be, right? And those were that was the Beis Din, right? It was the sponsoring. They didn't call it a sponsoring rabbi at the time. It was the rabbi, and he brought two people along with him. So I myself served on a couple when I was in Riverdale. I had the privilege of serving a few times on a conversion court, so to speak. But I didn't know the people were. You know, I asked a few questions here or there, but it was pretty much trusting the person in charge. So that's clearly in accordance with this tshuva of Rav Moshe. So that changed, as you can see, I put in the chat box here, in the summer of 2006. So it became a... Oh, and how did it... Because... and you know, So what changed is the Rabbanut in Israel sort of said, like, you know, we don't know who any of these rabbis are. And for a time, it was, well, if they're a member of the Rabbinical Council of America, or, you know, if you go to the right, maybe some other way of vouching for them. But if they're a member of the Rabbinical Council of America, they're accepted. So around that time, they said, you know what, we're not so sure we're such fans of all of these rabbis that are members of the Rabbinical Council of America. And, you know, and what exactly are their standards? And who says that they're really doing everything up to our standards, etc.? We need to have some sort of system that's put in place. And that was done during that time. There was something called the conversion to Judaism with the help of GPS. GPS stands for Geirus Protocol, Protocols and something. I forgot, right?
So are you saying that every person who converts in America through...
I'm not saying everybody. No, I'm not saying what everybody does. It's a slow down. Slow down. Let me talk, please. Right. So the it became a system of Bate Dinim. So there are now through America something like 25, 30 Bate Dinim that are affiliated with this system, affiliated with the Basin of America. And they get accepted, and they actually, the rules and regulations are that the Dayanim are full-fledged Rabbanim that, in theory, have passed an extra form of some Bechinas and Hilchos Geiris, etc., and therefore everything is, assuming, therefore everything should be on the up and up. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody goes through this process. Sometimes it's, you know, people go through, people that are not affiliated with the system. You know, and Dayanim are supposed to be honest, and Bate Dinim are supposed to be honest as to how much they are accepted into the land of Israel. And America is a free country; people could do what they want. Okay, but that is the premise for the system of, you know, mostly lay peoples found in this, not lay people, but you know, people that are not necessarily experts is found in this tshuva of Rav Moshe. Now if we continue on in that tshuva, you already see that Rav Moshe is not even so thrilled with the situation as was then. Because if you take a look back on that page, on page Shin Chaf, towards the bottom on the right, he says, Ach b'chal ikar geiris lo nochedait. He says, the whole issue of geiris is not so good to me. Right, I don't really right. Mizev, ani nimna mizev. Lo rak mitzad hadin she'im mekabel lechatchil b'shvil ishus el gam mitam shu kemat baror ka'anan tzadi shalom mekabel mitzvos v'rak pepia omeres kish shemekabeles uvelokabeles mitzvos afrak prat echad hamufurish b'bechorish she'im mekabel noso. Right, Moshe says, but there's a whole problem here in that a lot of people are showing up and they're not necessarily going to be mekabel mitzvos. Right, and it's not he brings this is sort of shifting into Sif Yud Beis, which I don't really want to get into tonight. But if you take a look at the top left paragraph of that tshuva, towards the bottom of that paragraph, he says that Ach Mikol Malkum like Yerusha Hu Tekabel Mitzvos Lachen Ani Omer Bezek Klum. Right, I don't say it about this. Right, ki yesh harbi rabbanim bin New York mekablim geirim keelu umemela ainli lor bezei isurin aval ani ain daiti noche. He says, you know, there are plenty of people that are accepting geiris from these bati din that he's not so thrilled about. So, you know, I'm not going to argue back. They're basing themselves on whatever kula they're relying on. However, it's just important to point out, in this tshuva, he seems like he's talking about Orthodox rabbis. He's talking about Orthodox rabbis that have lower conversion standards than him. Okay? The issue so that's where we got so far. The issue of conservative rabbis, he actually starts dealing with in the next tshuva. Now, give me about 20 seconds. I think we have successfully at least put somebody here to sleep. And let me try to transfer her to her bed. Wish me luck.
So for only one person, huh? Okay, how are things down in Philly?
Okay. better than New York, I think, at this point. How many murders and shootings did they have over the weekend? New York, probably.
Yeah, it was quite a bit. I saw the report on that. It's not a not a happy number. We seem to be rapidly losing our title to safest big city in America.
Yeah, well.
Okay, so in that's Tshuva Kuf Nun Tes. In Tshuva Kuf Samach, now you notice the dates, it's actually the same time, right? It's also Tavshin Yud, it's about 2 months later, right? One was in Dalet Adar and this is Vav Iyar. So 2 months later, actually think about it, Vav Iyar, Tavshin Yud, is the first Yom HaTzma'ut. Right, it's 19. It's Vav Iyar, 1949. Right, but okay. Anyways,
amazing.
So B'davar HaGeirus Shehaya Eitzel Rabbi Conservati. Right, so he's writing to. He also fascinating. If you see who's writing to, he's writing to Rav Chaim Elazri Shlita Hagon Av Beistin, Canton, Ohio. Right? How many Jews do you know that came from Canton, Ohio? Right? But at that period, there were Rabbanim, there were Gedolim that like ended up in these far-fledged places. In fact, Rav Moshe, I forget if he actually went there for a little bit or he didn't end up actually having to go there, but was originally, I think his visa to get to America was to be a rabbi in Toledo, Ohio. That there was some opening there, and that enabled him to get some the visa to be able to come over. So anyways, so he says, with regards to Geirus by a conservative rabbi. Now the question, the title actually of this tshuva is, Begeirus Shelo Kedin, Ulin Kfura Bekvaros Yisrael. If you have a Geirus that's not Kahalacha, right, can that person then be buried in a Jewish cemetery? So you have a big problem. In a place like Canton, Ohio, there is one Jewish cemetery, and now you're going to start bringing in people with the assumption of this rabbi seems to be illegitimate conversions. Right, so does that then mess up the entire integrity of the Jewish cemetery? So he says, "B'davar." Now this is a long tshuva. We're just going to do a part of it. But he says, "B'davar geir shai etzal rav conservati shelo ya bekabalas mitzvos karoy v'hatvil lo haisal lifnei abeisin elifnei nishayhem." Right, so you have there was an appropriate kabbalas mitzvos, and they didn't go to the mikvah in front of Rabbanim. Now, he spoke about that last week, so maybe that's good b'dievet, but the bigger problem is the first one. Hinei pashut sha'geiris eino klum. That's the way Rav Moshe starts the paragraph, right? It's simple that the geiris is meaningless. Okay, the hakabal samitzus ma'akiv ha'geiris, I feel kabal kol dina Torah chutz midavar echad, ma'akiv kid isa b'b'choros. And even if you accept all of the mitzvahs in Torah except for one, it's going to be no good. Right? That's going to hinder the geirus from actually happening. Right, so that you need to have a kabbalas mitzvah in front of three people. So these rabbis that we're talking about, right, we see that they're not accepting mitzvahs. That, and you see, because who's this person who's converting? Who are they marrying? They're marrying a person who's not Shomer Torah Mitzvos, right? The whole purpose is to convert in order to marry somebody who's not Shomer Torah Mitzvos. So clearly, it's not going to work. He says, however, Acha kol zeh yesh makom lomar shehu geirus b'dieved. He says, maybe, however, there is room to call it a geirus b'dieved. Mi'achar she'amr lifnei ha-beistin she'mekablin mitzvos ha-Torah. He says, but the fact is, he did say in front of a beis din the words, I plan on doing the mitzvahs of the Torah. V'yir gam kazush mekabelis be'emes. Right? And he accepted it fully. Right? L'chein ulai danin af be'elu she'en shomeres achar kach dinei ha-Torah she'baru lanu she'af be'es hageiris lo kabela b'liba. Rak b'dvarim she'beliv. Right? That maybe you only judge... that he didn't do it afterwards, But the fact that he didn't do it afterwards, maybe it's clear that he didn't have it at the time. He says, I don't believe it. I mean, if you see clearly the person is has every intention of not being Shomer Torah mitzvahs, it's hard to say that they have Kabbalah some mitzvahs. But maybe you could say there's what to rely on. I mean, that's he's not admitting it himself, but he's saying maybe there are others who rely on it. So here you see Rav Moshe already, like, he's not willing to say it's Gornish me Gornish. I mean, are those who say that there's a possibility. By the way, just to answer this tshuva about the cemetery, on the back of the page, he paskins that in order to avoid machlokas, you could let them be buried in the Jewish cemetery. Just try to have a separate Orthodox section to maintain the integrity of your community. I mean, you don't have to put a fence, just try to have a separation of distance from where the where people that aren't religious are being buried with the converts that aren't legitimate. That's the end of the tshuva. I mean, sort of way of saying they deserve it, which is sort of a feeling that I've had with some of these halachos when I've confronted them. Yeah, Joel.
I have a little problem with this because you're dealing with some kind of a couple of mitzvahs. You don't necessarily have to be a Talmud Chacham to figure that out. I mean, people are probably converted by Orthodox rabbis, and then not so long afterwards, they're not observing mitzvahs anymore. And, you know, what is so... But at the time they maybe accepted it, they were observing.
So
maybe their true intention was revealed very shortly afterwards.
Okay, so right. Well, one second. If it's their true intention, so their true intention means that they were never mekabel mitzvos, right? And that was their true intention. What Moshe is suggesting here is maybe they did have sincere intentions for that moment. If they did, so Moshe says, well, what do you have here? You have three Jews that don't, you know, that are watching him. His assumption, he doesn't, does he go here to the place? He's not going to the place of the conservative rabbis are for sure not usable at all. I mean, they are still Jewish. Elsewhere, he's going to sort of say, you know, they're apikorsim. I mean, they don't qualify for dayanus just by dint of being conservative rabbis. But I don't think he's saying it. Maybe it's elsewhere in this paragraph. I read it quickly.
That's sort of a different question. Even Orthodox rabbis can't determine and be sure that people are going to be sure of mitzvahs there.
I think that's why Rabbi Feinstein, he says shebalev, because it's in the heart and nobody really knows what the person says. If you say it's next to the bedding and it's in his heart, then maybe there is room that you can consider.
Right. That's
the way you understand.
Except there are times that are very clear, which is actually not in the next one that I have. But there are times when it is clear, and that is that the person is getting married or converting for the purpose of marrying a Kohen, right? So I'm married, right, with full intent, right, with my Kohen spouse right next to me. So it's clearly that the person is converting, having in mind that I am going to, right, that's the equivalent of I'm converting and I have half of my McDonald's hamburger in my hand, right? That it's clear that you have an intention of not keeping all of the mitzvos as you move along. So Rav Moshe here at least seems to be saying that he's not personally endorsing that position, but he is suggesting that there could be those that would rely on a position that, you're right, Dvarim should believe in Dvarim. And when you say to the person, are you ready to accept all the mitzvos? The person says, yes, and they could mean it at that very moment, in which case that would then qualify for Geirus. Now Rav Moshe himself would say, look, that I hear that Svara, but I don't think it's true. I mean, I think the Dayanim have the right to use their eyes a little bit and say, the person's only getting married, they're clearly engaged to this person, that person is not Shomer Torah Mitzvos, this person clearly doesn't have intention of being Shomer Torah Mitzvos either. Right? So how much but that's already subject to debate then, right? You know, how much do I trust the guys, what the guy's saying, versus what clearly the person's intention is? And Yitzchak, the tzaddik, is about to argue and say, yeah, but maybe he was a tzaddik at that moment. How can you say that he's not Jewish, right? Yitzchak, is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, but there is a difference between lekabel et hamitzvot ve'lasot et hamitzvot. So you can say lekabel, meaning I believe the Torah and I I believe in all the mitzvot of the Torah, and I want to lekabel. I want to do it, but if it doesn't do it, it doesn't lose its status.
No, I don't think we make that distinction. I mean, a person's converting and saying, I hereby accept that there's such a mitzvah as not being allowed to marry a Kohen, but yet I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways, right? So it's very hard to accept to say that that's okay, right? But so then a person doesn't... What?
No, I'm... Yeah, if you...
But, because the person is even, they're accepting the concept of a mitzvah, but they're not accepting the concept of a mitzvah, right? They're saying, yeah, I accept that there is a mitzvah to that a Gioris is not allowed to marry a Kohen, but I don't accept that I'm not going to observe it. Well, then you don't get the concept of a mitzvah, right? Then you're right, a mitzvah is not an option, is not optional. Now, Rav Moshe elsewhere, I thought I had this. Okay, right. That actually is the next tshuva that I have on this on the list here that I put out, right? Where I did Beis Dalet. Yes, there we go. Right. So Beis Dalet here. What is this topic? The topic is Be'inyan Lagayer Nachris Shekvar Nisua LaKohen. Right. The concept of a non-Jewish woman converting, she was already married to a Kohen, Barakos, in a civil court, Kadeshi Se'ena Mitzach Omer Dim Lo Yatiru Yishtamir Chas V'Shalom. And the reason they want to say is, listen, they're going to get married, and if we don't accept her as a convert, so then he's saying that I'm going to become I'm just going to leave Judaism entirely. Right? So that's like the threat, right? Rabbi, convert this woman. Otherwise, you're never going to see me again because instead of me being here next Saturday, I'm going to be at BVM Presentation Church up the road next Sunday, right? That's his argument here. So Rav Moshe here says, Lefi ani, on line 6, right off the bat in the beginning of the tshuva, he says straight up, Lefi ani az daisi eina roa bazeh makom lahatir. I see no room to be makil here. Now, over the course of this tshuva, he does make the argument of, like, listen, the guy is, she's converting, saying, I want to be Jewish. I'm ready to do all the mitzvos. And in her mind, the mitzvos are optional, right? So she says all those words thinking, yeah, I'm going to do all the mitzvos like the most righteous Jew that I know does all the mitzvos. And who's the most righteous Jew that I know, right? The priest that I've been married to for the last couple of months, right? So does that hold any water? So that already is shifting us into the other category, which in Sif Yud Beis, which I want to hold off on for a little bit, trying to investigate what exactly she is thinking, right? So not about the Kabbalah Mitzvah, rather about the Beis Din himself, right? So similarly, a similar tshuva I have here on the next page, there it is, and Simon Kuf Chaf Hey. This is Yeridaya Chelek Beis Simon Kuf Chaf Hey. I thought I had it out here. Oh, there it is. Okay, right. Where? What is the title of this one? Echli hisnahig minale hamikva kisherotzim haconservatim lahatbil gerim ba'mikva. Right. How should the people who are in charge of a mikva deal with the issue when conservative people come in order to be tovel their gerim in the mikva? They allow it to take place as well. Right. So that is a interesting public policy question. Different mikvos have different policies on it. Many modern.
Look who asked the question.
Shimon Isaacovitz.
Askowitz. Alva Shalom, my eye doctor, the president of the Philadelphia Mikveh Association.
Oh, look at that!
That's correct.
Oh, wow.
And Rav Moshe, who, if you look on my screen...
Look on your screen. Okay, where I can't get... I was off screen. There we go. Okay.
See Rav Moshe?
Yes.
That's 10 years after that tshuva. He came to Philadelphia. Dr. Askowitz had collected a lot of money. I think for Agudas Yisrael. He spoke, Rav Moshe spoke in our shul. That's Rav Elia next to him. And that's Rabbi Levine. So he was in the basement of our shul that Sunday morning. There's Rabbi Cohen. And,
wow.
I don't have a picture of Dr. Asowitz with me here. I have it downstairs. And this was him sitting at the table with Rabbi Schuster, Dr. Rabbi Cohen, and that's Rabbi Levine.
Uh-huh. So this gets us to the 70s, Tufshin Chaf Beis, right?
This is right. This is 1972, April 23rd.
So which mikvah was this asked about, do you know?
This was the Philadelphia mikvah, there was the one in Logan.
This was asked about the Logan mikvah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. There you go. So good we have the official Philadelphia historian here. I wrote it down in my sefer here.
Because Dr. Asowitz got me involved with the mikvah.
Ah, okay.
He got me involved with the mikvah. That's how I know the what was going on.
Uh-huh. So, all right.
I don't know about this tshuva or anything like that, but that's how I know that Dr.
Well, do you know what the policy was? What was the Logan mikvah policy for geirus?
No geirus, no.
Did they allow Orthodox geirim?
I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
I don't think so.
Okay, so there are, right, the different mikvahs have different policies. Some just won't allow geirus at all. And a lot of modern mikvahs are built with Mikvah USA money, and I think it was a condition of the mikvah built in Lower Merion recently. I think it's their standard requirement is that it not be used for any conversion, which is becoming, I think, in my view, a little bit of a problem, as many mikvahs are now being built with Mikvah USA money. We're kind of starting to run out of mikvahs where you could actually do conversions in, right? But anyway, so that's one extreme policy. The other extreme, what we would think would be the ideal policy is that a mikvah could get built and it'd be used for Orthodox conversions, right? And that's and draw the line, and that's it, right? That's the ideal policy. And the other extreme is to just have it be open. So the mikveh in Riverdale, which was under the auspices of Mordechai Willig, I think they redid it recently, and maybe the rules are different now. But when I was interning at the RJC, the rule was that the mikveh is totally open to anybody. So conservative and reform rabbis came from all over the New York area to use the Riverdale mikveh. So what was Rabbi Willig's svara? He said, because I don't want the fact that my mikveh was used to testify that any geirus is good. I mean, I don't want somebody to say, well, look, I was converted in the Riverdale mikvah, so it must be that my geirus is good, right? So I will accept, no, wait, it's a swimming pool, right? Anybody could come and use that mikvah. I said, I don't want any responsibility towards that. And, makes sense. A lot of wisdom in that position, as well. So I remember when there's actually a mikvah book there, and I was told later I wasn't really supposed to look at it, but there is a book there of every conversion that is done. There's like a notebook there. Whenever a conversion is done, you're supposed to fill out the notebook. I'm not really sure why, but we just did it. So you can flip through the pages and see all sorts of interesting males and females that were there to I'm not talking about the people dunking. I'm talking about the people watching the dunking for those activities that took place there. But anyways, with regards to, this is, I guess, the second tshuva and Rav Moshe that I know, particularly about Philadelphia. The other one has to do with girls learning Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? Rav Moshe's tshuva about girls learning Mishnayos was written, I think, to Rav Elia Svei about Torah Academy for girls, I think. But anyways, so here he's, but it's important, the reason this tshuva I brought is not so much for the mikvah psak, but he has here a line. He says kisharotza rav mi conservativin, right, on line number 5, lahatpil sham ger vigiores asher kimat baror she'ein osin hageiros kedin about kishlo yanichum ish lochish lamachlokas. He says it's kimat baror, it's almost clear, it's pretty much clear, right, that geirus is not being done lahalacha, but why would you allow them to use it? In order to avoid machlokas, right? That's the issue. And he says it even a couple lines down as well. about five lines from the bottom, where he says, "Vary kimachi adua sheruban afsha omrim shemakablim mitzvos who rock l'ramus es habisner." He says it's clear that even those people that say that they're accepting mitzvos, it's really just to fool the Beis Din. But we see at the end that they had never had any intention of fulfilling any of those mitzvos. So just bringing this as Rav Moshe saying straight up, the conversion is no good, almost, right? That kimat, it's clear that it's no good, but he still leaves the door open a little bit that maybe there is what to rely on when it comes to a conversion done by non-Orthodox rabbis, right? Which becomes important in the other direction. Right, by the way, the psak that Rav Moshe says here is that it's best to keep them out, but if the donors were all gave money on condition that they'd be able to use the mikveh for conversions, like, you know, you get a major grant from Federation, for example. So Rav Moshe says, you know, no, like, okay, you know, that's the agreement that the mikveh was built on. So he doesn't close the door. So then in the one more spot here, and perhaps a little bit clearer, I think this is in the sheet as well, in the Sefer Mesoras Moshe, where is it? There. I believe it's on the must probably the last page. Yeah, is from Mesoras Moshe. So Mesoras Moshe, we quoted from it this past Shabbos. People reviewing their notes of things that they asked Rav Moshe about. So Rav Moshe here was asked in Reish Samach Beis, Hine Hayapam Geiris LaAisha Geiris Conservati Ha'im Yesh LaHachshiv Zeh Kesafik Geiris Olo. Right, straight up, they asked Rav Moshe, a woman was converted by conservative rabbi, got a conservative conversion, should we consider it as a Safik Geiris or not? So he says, V'heishiv Rabbein, Shema conservatim e'ilu hayu be'emes v'chali Shabbos ha'pukorsim u'bevada in ma'aseim klum, az bevada in ma'aseim klum. It says, if they were clearly v'chali Shabbos ha'pukorsim, right, so then it's meaningless. The tzrichim shiyu basin shel anashim k'sherim, but you need a basin of kosher people. Okay. He says, so then I asked him, what about kusim, that clearly were in violation of the din, but yet they seem there, we do entertain the possibility of their conversions being accepted. Rav Moshe responds by saying, you can't bring proofs from Tanakh, we're not going to go there. But then the last paragraph he says, Umeila amar Rabbeinu, imaya beistin shel psulim, az ein hageris klum. Rakulai, again, right, leaving the door open again. He says, Rakulai ishli stopik the efshar lo ayu beistin shel psulim. He says, maybe they weren't psulim. The yesha nashim be'etzem datim u'maminim, that referring to conservative rabbis, that in essence are datim, knowledgeable and believe in Hashem. Shemachmas dochik parnasa mekablim masra kirabanim etzlam. Right, but because of the need for parnasa, they took a job being a conservative rabbi. Isav afilim lamdu beseminar shelhem. He says even if they learned in JTS. Right? Still, ulai ba'atzmo kei ma'aminim. Perhaps they themselves believe in Hashem. V'lefichach l'maisa im zeh efshar levar tivraru. He says, if you could figure that out, figure it out. V'im kasha levar, if it's hard to figure out, az ulai shayich lahagir asara, she'im zeh bekfar o ir rachok me'ikr yishuv hayadus, hadati mistame ein liestapik bevada einam klum. He says, well, you could figure out based on where it is. If it's far out in the sticks someplace, like I would say, like Canton, Ohio, but you know, you don't want to use that place. But it's someplace out in the sticks. So then that's, we would assume that they're probably not going to be acceptable. But in maybe there is room to accept. He says, "V'im zeh be'ir sheyesh bo yishuv dati." If it's in a city where there are religious people, nu azai kein yesh suffix. Says maybe there's a suffix in this sefer. That word nu appears in almost every essay at some point. So no, like Rosh, like okay, maybe you know, not. I guess maybe you could rely on it. So there again, Rav Moshe seems to be opening the door at least the possibility of b'di'eved accepting these conversions. Now, under most circumstances, if the person is from, so you say, look, convert again. Like, what's the big deal? So the big deal often comes from the other direction. So I came across a entry in the Svarim blog. If anybody is interested just seeing a lot of interesting things, right, you can subscribe to the Svarim blog. So Mark Shapiro has an article a couple of years ago where he talks about this issue, the conservative conversion issue, and he brings it up in the context of a tshuva from Rav Ovadia Yosef about the following situation, right? So a woman was engaged to a Kohen, right? The woman grew up, the woman is totally, you know, grew up in a totally Jewish, no issues with her yichus, no issues with his yichus, right? They're ready to get married. Except when she was in college, she slept with some guy who was also Jewish, right? So far, so good. However, this guy's mother had a conservative conversion. Right, this guy's mother had a conservative conversion, and the testimony this guy's mother had a conservative conversion, and they actually had a religious household, meaning they did like do Kiddush Friday night, they did some of the mitzvahs. So that's the question is, could we rely on that conservative conversion to say that this guy, the son, is Jewish, such that the girl who slept with this guy in college, right, is not considered a zona, and therefore could remain engaged to her fiancé, who's a Kohen, right? So, followed all of those steps. So, Rav Ovadia Yosef actually says, yes, you can rely on it, and he doesn't even require any research. He doesn't say in that tshuva that you actually even have to research as to who the conservative rabbis potentially were, right? He seems to say that you could rely on it, not based on the fact of the integrity of the base, but based on the integrity of the conversion. I mean, that there was some kind of acceptance of mitzvos. It was done in front of Jews. And truth is, I didn't see if he was concerned about maybe not all of the dayanim were male. I'm not sure if that would, but the truth is, not even sure that would change things at all. It could be that there would even be room to rely on it, even under those scenarios. So that is sort of. I'm not sure if Moshe would be matir in such a case, but Rav Ovadia Yosef was apparently matir in such a case. Okay, so just the pathway we took tonight. Tshuva number one was Rav Moshe saying that you don't need to have a big rabbanim to do it. And he's not so happy with the Geiris scene, but he sees what people rely on when they do conversions for people that are not ultimately going to remain religious. Rav Moshe and several other tshuvos seems to not permit the viability of conservative rabbis on a din for a conversion, but in every one of those tshuvos, he does leave the door open a little bit that maybe it is acceptable under some circumstances or something, but somewhat vague as well. In this Mesoris Moshe, he pretty much straight up says that that if the conservative, if they were, if the conservative rabbis were so much Shomrei Torah Mitzvos, it would be acceptable as a Beis Din. Although it could still be problems with regards to the Kabbalah Samitzos, which we'll reserve for another time. And finally, we have this Shuva from Rav Ovadia Yosef saying that that you could rely on it in the case where the person comes out religious on the other side. All right, so that is our path. Any questions, comments, observations on this? Right? What?
On the story of Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, yes, it sounds a little crazy, but it's really a far stretch.
What do you mean?
How do you define a religious household?
So Ovadia Yosef, this we'll get to in the Sif Yud Beis. But there is a strong svara. There is a svara to say is that the person says, "I accept mitzvos based on what I know mitzvos are, right? And what I see is, I alluded to this earlier. What I see is that yeah, people keep Shabbos by you know driving to shul and back, and you know by doing Kiddush Friday night and then watching the ball game, right? But that's their expectation of what Shabbos is, so therefore one can make the case that they accept to do that. So therefore that perhaps could qualify as a conversion.
Basically saying that a conservative conversion, if the kids follow the same kind of conservative Judaism, it's
validated. No. So I'm not sure of validating. Rabbi Yosef was willing to rely on it to permit this guy, this girl who, you know, who slept with the daughter of such a convert who slept with the son of such a convert to marry a Kohen. That's what Rav Moshe said was okay, right? But if Rav Avad Yosef said was okay. Now, if this original family came back to him and said, Rav Avad Yosef, should we get another conversion, right? He quite possibly would answer yes, right? But he's saying in terms of whether it affects a different marriage a couple steps removed, he was willing to be makel on that basis.
It's kind of dangerous.
Okay, but it's also dangerous to tell a couple that's engaged that, you know, sorry, we're not going to.
Wait, because they were already engaged. They were Netza, like you speak last week. They were already in Netza.
No. But this is a case of a Kohen with a Zona, right? So in that case, right, they would even have to separate. They wouldn't be allowed to remain together. It's not a case last week. Last week was Imnichnas Loteitze. Once they're married already, they don't even get divorced. In this scenario, they technically would have to get divorced. Right, and Rav Avadia is willing to say Koch de Tera Adif. He even says that line in there, and he says he's willing to be Mekel. Okay, all right, Yasha Koch, everybody. Mr. Shalom, I'll pick up next week.
Very good. Good night.
Wish my father luck on his chess game.